Reformation Day, here we are. And we get, well, there's a whole host of things we could be celebrating, right? I mean, this is our tradition. This is our heritage. This is, there's so many great insights that the Reformation brought us. So today, I want to talk about one. And it is the idea about faith. The first thing I want to say about it is that the Reformation understanding of faith is not very well understood by us Lutherans or anybody else. And what happens has been that in America especially, but elsewhere, the Protestant, the Reformation that started in with Luther and others became something that sort of drifted away from the main Lutheran idea, the main Reformation idea. And that is this. What happened is we started to hear that we are not justified by works, but by our faith in Jesus. Sound familiar? Right? Everybody can... I'm not... Yeah, right? Okay, because if this doesn't sound familiar, I don't have a good sermon at all. I'm in deep trouble. Okay. Right? Okay. So, when somebody says you're not justified by doing good things or being nice or being all those things, but by your believing in Jesus. This is not the Reformation insight. And the problem with that insight, the problem with that idea of your, if you believe in Jesus, you will be saved, is this. What happens? You say you believe, you even maybe have a confession of your faith in Jesus, and then your life goes on. And then you get to a place in your life where things are dark. And you don't feel that faith that you thought you had. It's not available. And then someone comes up to you and says, oh, just believe. And that sounds not like good news, but bad news. Because it is exactly what I cannot do. I cannot generate that kind of faith because right now I'm in a dark place and I can't do it. So what becomes of that confessional faith? What becomes of this, I must believe in Jesus? It leaves you in a dark place. That is exactly where Luther was. He was struggling because the medieval church had all kinds of great ways for you to create faith, for you to encourage faith in yourself, pilgrimages and prayers and all kinds of practices for us to build up faith in ourselves. Great stuff. But when it was darkest, there was no generating of our faith, of our own faith. What Luther said, and what St. Paul is saying too, which again, it's frustrating because it's a translation issue, is this. St. Paul says, we are justified not by faith in Jesus, but by the faith of Jesus. The faithfulness of Jesus. That's Paul's whole argument. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all shown ourselves to be unfaithful, and yet God justifies us by the faithfulness of one, Jesus. And that's the difference. So that when we go into this place of darkness, when we go into a place where we're struggling and we don't feel faith and we don't know what to do, there is the faithfulness of Jesus that we can hold on to. We cannot be faithful. Jesus is faithful to us and to God. This is an understanding that is really... pastors don't get it either. I just have to say it. I sometimes don't even remember it. And I'm telling you about it. But here's what happened at Bishop's Convocation this past week. There is a woman who's a pastor, and she's the pastor of a church, one of the churches that we pray for, actually, every Sunday. And she was unceremoniously asked to leave her church. And it was very hard. And there were no good reasons given. It just happened. There she was. And she was at Bishop's Convocation. And as I was leaving to come back home, there she was out in front where the cars pull up. And she was just standing there. And I hadn't talked to her for the convocation. And I just said, how are you doing? Boom, all of this comes out. And so, well, I'm talking to her. She's listening. She's telling me. I'm listening to the story. And and she feels like a failure, and she feels like she's worthless, and she feels all those things that once in a while we all feel. And then at that moment, I took her by the shoulders and I said, this is the time where we must understand that we live not, but that we live by faith. And she went, oh, that's the very thing that's the worst of it. I don't have any faith right now. Right? And I said, oh, no. I don't mean your faith. I mean Jesus' faith. I mean Jesus' fidelity. Jesus' faithfulness to you. And she went, oh, yeah, right. That's right. Oh, right? Because it's so hard to remember that it is not generated from us. It's coming to us as a gift. That's the grace part, right? It's a gift that comes to us. And our struggle is to always remember that we are not called upon to generate faith. When we experience faithfulness, when we experience the presence of God, oh, isn't that delicious? Isn't it great? Right? And then for a time, maybe we don't. And then we do again. And it's delicious again. Well, it's Renita Weems, who's an African-American preacher, said that it's the time between the experiences of God that Jesus' faithfulness carries us. Not ours. Until we get to the next spot where we experience Jesus, where we experience his presence, his love, his mercy. And we say, thanks be to God for that. But then we go on again, and there are times when we just don't get it. And Jesus walks with us in those times. That's what Luther was really, really honest. He wanted to know that the gospel was true even in his darkest times, you see? That's when he really needed it. And everything that he had been told was that he had degenerated himself. And he couldn't do it. And it just made it worse. And that's what he understood by law. That which comes to us and is not good news, but bad news. You feel lousy? Well, pray, or believe, or do good. And when you can't do those things, all it does is judge you all the more. So his insight was, oh, wait, it's not my faithfulness, it's not my praying, it's not my doing good works, it's Jesus being given to me. So that I can live, even when I don't feel faithful. It's that circle. Remember that circle about that the small catechism? Everybody remembers the small catechism, right? We're going to have a quiz. Right? The catechism is made up of explanations about the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the sacraments, right? And so the first thing is, behave yourself. The Ten Commandments, right? Follow the commandments. Be faithful to them. And then, well, I can't do that. Oh, well then, believe. And there's the creed. And then you look at it, I can't do that either. And then you say, oh, well, if you can't do that, then pray. The Lord's Prayer, pray it. Yeah, but I just can't pray. It's just not getting me where I need to go. I'm trying to pray, but I can't pray. And he says, if you can't pray, then just come to church and receive the body and blood of Jesus, the sacrament. We will give it to you. All you got to do is show up, and or even we'll bring it to you and receive Jesus. There. How's that? Having received Jesus. That sacramental piece is actually the very heart of it. That's what brings us faith. That's what infuses us with Jesus' faithfulness. Jesus for you. And then, receiving that, then you can say, okay, well, let's try it again. Let's get back up to the commandments. I think I can do some of these now. And then by the end of the week, you're tired again. Oh, I tried all these things again. And come back again. Here, receive this. This is the faithfulness of Jesus for you. So that's the Reformation insight. And it's like if we are struggling when we are in those places, that's what Luther thought was the place where we needed this to be good news and not judgment. That idea that we are justified by the faithfulness of one. Do you remember last week when we talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector? And how my argument was they both went down justified, because the Pharisee, if we took him for a good person, not somebody who's being boastful, but just saying, I'm thank God that I'm not like these guys, because I could have been there, but for the grace of God, go meet Rye. Anyway. And the tax collector is saying, have mercy on me. And the argument what I didn't say last week, but I really should have said last week, I'll say it this week, is this: that in Judaism there is this thing, it's called the faith of the ancestors, the faith of the fathers. And what it's saying is that a faithful Jew can justify an unfaithful Jew. Somebody who's faithful to the Torah can bring salvation to one who isn't. Isn't that beautiful? No, wait a minute, that's not true. That can't be right, because, wait a minute. One person cannot bring salvation and justification to another person. One Jew cannot. That's the way we think. Right? And then we have to say, oh, but wait. Isn't that exactly what we believe? That one Jew can bring salvation to all. One faithful Jew can bring salvation and healing to all. Luther simply said, that's true. And there's nothing we have to do to receive it. There is nothing, frankly, that we can do to receive it. That one comes to us, and we are healed, and we are justified, and we are loved into being. So when somebody says to you, have faith, one response might be, I have the faith that Jesus has given me. Jesus has faith in me. That's the important thing. And it's that I hold on to. Jesus has faith in me. And when that dawns on us, when that comes to us and hits us, then we can say, and wow, now I can do anything. I'm free. I'm free to serve. I'm free to obey. I'm free to pray. I'm free to confess. Free to live in the Spirit of Jesus. Thanks be to God for this insight. Thanks be to God for this gift. That's what we mean when we say we are justified by grace through faith. Through one's faith. The one Jew who saves us all.